When you turn to God's Word, a really well-known portion of Scripture, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And I would tell you what page it was on, but I can't see that, so I'll not tell you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Parable of a sower. And there's, you know, whenever I was interested, we're going through the Kingdom Come series. This is the Kingdom Come series. And I found it interesting that this was the one that I got to speak on, because this is the one that really is close to my heart this morning. And just because it's a well-known portion of Scripture, please don't switch off, because God's Word is God's Word. God's Word is powerful. And God's Word brings change and transformation. God's Word brings joy and happiness into our life. God's Word can do things in you and me that you and I could never, ever do outside of ourselves. And I was listening on the radio on the way in there this morning. There's some, any of you see the picture of the galaxies, the new pictures they got of the galaxies? Anybody see that? Amazing. Absolutely beautiful. And I looked at some of the pictures myself, had a good look at them, loved them, absolutely beautiful. And as a Christian, you can't help but thinking, isn't God just an amazing God? There's all that beauty out there, and we don't even see it, but he still took the time to create that beauty. And the commentator was saying something like this here: we can now see so far back that we believe that we think we can tell how the world began. And I'm thinking to myself, I could tell you how it began. But isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? So let's read this morning. And as I say, don't switch off, because it's a well-known portion of Scripture. That same day, Jesus came out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell in good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what it was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why did you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to me. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak in parables. And then verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground fares to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns referred to someone who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the words, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling in good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Amen. So, in this portion of the Word of God, there's a challenge, I believe, to those of us who know Christ as our Savior, as our personal Savior, and a challenge to those of us who don't know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And as we have gone through the Kingdom Come series, we see how biblical principles apply to our lives, not only as individuals, but to the life of the church, the life of the body of Christ. There are biblical principles that God has set aside for you and I, and one of these principles is what we're going to be looking at this morning. But one of the greatest tragedies in life is the fact that sometimes we very often listen, but we don't hear. I was sharing on Coffee Explorer the other week that my wife Angela has a wee, you know, the things people hang up on the wall, we're writing on it. And it says in one of these things in our kitchen, it says, my wife says, I never listen. At least I think that's what she said. And that's the way we are with God. We sometimes hear, but we don't listen. In fact, Jesus mentions this in Luke's Gospel. He says, you call me Lord, but you do not do what I say. You hear, you call me Lord, but I'm Lord of your life. Why do you not do what I say? And this is something that applies to us, maybe most of us in this room. And this portion of Scripture that the Marines were indicates that. Because, as I say, it's exceptionally well known, the portion of Scripture, as I wrote and said last week, there's so much in it. You can preach about six sermons from this one portion of Scripture. There's so much in it. But this morning I want to keep it simple, and I want to ask three very, very basic questions. Who does Jesus talk to in this portion? Who does he talk to? What's he saying to me personally in this portion of Scripture? And what does he say in the church? What does he say to us as a body of believers who are many of us born again in the Spirit of God? So we look at the sword this morning. And I start with the sword, because the sword is very often missed in this portion of Scripture. Whenever we think of this piece of the Bible, we often think of the different types of ground. We think of the seed. But we forget sometimes about
makes the story. It's this man who goes out, this farmer goes out and he begins to sow seeds. And whenever we think about that, we automatically think of somebody sowing seeds for fruit or vegetables or flowers or whatever. And the farmer, any farmer who, or any person who's sowing anything will understand that before you sow a seed, there has to be a time of preparation. The ground needs to be prepared before anything will take root and before anything will grow. And I want to challenge us this morning as believers about this, those of us who know Jesus Christ, about this particular aspect of the story. Are we sowers? Are we people who sow seeds? Are we people who take time to sow seeds into the lives of other people? And sometimes we need to prepare the ground. And you know, we have the great privilege this morning, as a Christian this morning, I have a great privilege of talking to people about Jesus Christ as you do. And sometimes that talking is simply sowing seeds. We get sometimes disappointed because we talk to people and they don't come to Christ in faith. That's okay. Our job is not to save people. Our job is to sow seeds. Our job is to sow into the lives of other people. I heard a tremendous story this week to do with a pound coin. A gentleman gave a young fella a pound coin after he did. The young fella was doing something in church. The gentleman gave him a pound coin because he was blessed by what the young 10-year-old was doing in church. And today, 30 years later, that young fella is still talking about that pound coin that Christian man gave to him. He sowed a seed into that wee boy's life. He sowed a seed into that wee boy's life. And it's so important that we as Christians, those of us who know Christ this morning, that we are sowers, that we sow seeds into other people's lives. This is such an important part of this word here. And God gives this man the privilege of taking that ground and preparing that ground. And you and I have loved ones who are outside of Christ. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and I pray that we take the opportunity of preparing the ground, that we prepare the ground around that person or those people so that when somebody comes and begins to sow seeds, that ground would already be prepared, that ground would be ready to take that seed. Let's take the opportunities. So the different types of soil. Verse 18, some of this seed fell on hard, barren ground. We know that out around the side of a field, there's hard, barren ground. In our day, it's where the tractors drive up and down. They turn there, it's packed hard. And nothing would grow on that ground. But inevitably, seeds will fall on that ground. But the birds come, take the seeds. The wind blows the seeds. It just scatters. Nothing penetrates the ground. It doesn't take root. And this happens in our lives. Sometimes the seeds of God's word are sown into our lives. As I said earlier on, Jesus said, "You call me Lord, but you do not do what I say." Sometimes we come into a meeting and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. The Holy Spirit will say, "I want you to do such and such a thing this week." The Holy Spirit will lead you to go and talk to somebody. The Holy Spirit will lead you to send a wee text to somebody. The Holy Spirit will lead you to visit somebody. And because of not listening, we don't do it. And I often wonder how many lives are affected in the negative because we don't listen and we don't do what God is telling us to do. But this seed has fallen on hard ground. And I've known people over the years who you minister the gospel to, and they could sit in meeting after meeting after meeting and hear the gospel, hear the word of God, and that never has any effect. It's hard ground, it's solid ground. And the sad thing is that many of those people are people who are regular church attenders. People who just hear the word of God and has no effect on them. That's hard. The heart is hard. There's no softness there. There's no place for the seed of God's word to take root. And sadly, they just don't hear it. That's that hard, solid ground. Simply put, maybe somebody's here like that this morning. Maybe you've been going to church for years and you just don't listen. You listen, you hear, but it doesn't apply to your life. Let's not be people with hard hearts. The rocky ground refers to the person who hears the word of God and receives it with joy. They love what they hear. They get excited about what they hear, but it's temporary. They will go to a meeting and they'll enjoy maybe good worship, they'll enjoy music, they'll enjoy the company, they'll enjoy fellowship, they'll enjoy the word. But whenever they leave, it just disappears. There's nothing of any depth there. The seed is sown and there's nothing of any depth. I sowed, wee packets of wildflower seeds you get. I sowed them this year. Not one of them grew. Not one of them. Not one seed grew. A disaster. But I caught on why they weren't sowed in the right place. There was no depth there. There was nothing for it to cling on to. There was nothing. There was no depth. And sometimes that is so like us. The reality is that sometimes in many of our lives, there's no depth. We like the idea, maybe, of being a Christian. We like the idea of fellowship and coming to church. And we like the idea of some of the things that we read about in the Bible and the idea of these things maybe happening. But along life, there's roadblocks and there's barriers and there's suffering comes along and something happens that upsets that person and they get derailed. And all the excitement of knowing Christ, all the joy of knowing Christ as Savior just burns off. That relationship just disappears. And that, folks, is not what God wants from a believer. God wants believers to be strong, to trust Christ, to live for Christ, to be what Jesus wants us to be. And you know, whenever we think about it, so I get so frustrated sometimes. I would talk to people about the Lord. And Balamina, we used to do a thing on a Friday night, and you're talking to people about Jesus to the early hours of the morning. I have met more people who tell me that they used to be saved, or I have been saved a few times. Was a really good one. How ridiculous is that? I've been saved a number of times. I went to this church and get saved there. I went to another church and get saved there. How stupid is that? You can only be saved the one time. The reality was there was no depth. They may have prayed a prayer, but there was no depth. There was other stuff in there, as we'll look at in a wee minute or two. There was no depth to that relationship. It was from here out. It wasn't from here in. And that's the difference. That's the soil that has so many thorns or so many stones in it that there's just no depth. The third one is very closely connected with that. It's the thorns. Does anybody ever hear any bollerwet? I grow a lot of plants and things, right? I have wild bollerwet ivy. Does anybody have any bollerwet ivy? She doesn't live next door to you, you know. Ivy. I hate ivy. Hate it with a passion. It grabs onto the bottom of your wee bush, and it will grow up that wee bush, and or bush for those more proper people, the little bush. It will grow up, and it will choke it. It will pull it down, and it will choke it, and I'm forever pulling out bits of ivy and putting it in the bin. Please forgive me, any of you who like ivy growing up the side of your house. I hate it. Hate it with a passion, because it chokes the wee plants. And it's really hard to get rid of. Really hard to get rid of. But if you don't look after the plant will eventually choke. The Word of God gets sown into our lives. And if we don't deal with the weeds and the sin and the stuff that is already there in our hearts, or if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to deal with that stuff, which is actually two different things, because God may want to deal with it, but we don't want Him to deal with it. If we don't deal with it, it will choke us. It will seek to destroy our relationship with God. It will try to destroy our relationship with God. And that thorny ground describes the person who comes to Christ, comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and is really, really trying hard to live for Jesus Christ. They're reading the Word of God. They're attending prayer meetings. They're doing things that are just what Christians should do in order to grow and develop and mature in the things of God. But there's thorny ground in there. There's weeds in there. There's other things within their life that will take over. And the problem is that person allows that stuff to stay in there. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit deal with it. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit just come. Do you know I know there's not a person in here who's a Christian person. And God from time to time shows you things in your life that just aren't right. Would that be a fair comment? He does that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And I praise God that the Holy Spirit does that. And whenever He does that, we shouldn't feel bad. We should be rejoicing, actually, that He's taken the time to show us in order for us to deal with it and then grow more in the things of God. So we need to learn to let go. We need to learn to get rid of these things that hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ. And those things aren't necessarily evil things like sins that people go out and commit. There's sometimes things like a hard heart. Very often there are things like a hard heart. Or gossiping. Hate gossiping. Things like that destroy not only your life, but the life of other people. God wants to set us free from that type of thing. He wants to set us free from the weeds. He wants to root out the weeds so that we might grow and we might flourish and become like the next person here, the good soil. That good soil produces grain and fruit of plenty. That person who hears the Word of God, that person who opens up their life and lets the Lord Jesus Christ come in, and all they do from there on in is to live for Jesus, to exalt Jesus, to magnify Jesus so that Christ Christ becomes center of their life. Christ becomes the focus of their life. That's what the good soil is. And that good soil produces a crop. It produces a crop. That person who gets saved and knows Christ in a true way begins to produce a crop. Any of you who grow vegetables, many of you grow vegetables. Oh my goodness, what's wrong with you? Any of you who grow vegetables, I grow vegetables, right? Anybody who grows vegetables will know that the next door neighbours never go without vegetables. Because a vegetable plant, I'll explain this to you townies, right? A vegetable plant produces more than one wee fruit. You plant one potato, you could get 12 potatoes from it. You plant one cucumber, my word, you want to plant cucumbers, they're fun to watch grow, and you can actually watch them grow. They produce dozens and dozens and dozens of cucumbers, and that fruit, that one seed that goes into that one plant produces a lot of fruit, so you're able to feed other people. You're able to give some of that crop, that fruit away. A good, healthy crop provides for other people. And salvation's the same. If the seed falls on good ground, ground that has been prepared, ground that is open, ground that wants a move of the Spirit of God, ground that seeks and desires the Holy Spirit to move, that seed that's sown in that ground will help other people. It will benefit other people. It's a good, healthy relationship with God, and that does exactly what it says. You see, when a person finds Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches us that we find eternal life. So whenever we trust Christ, we find eternal life and we get to heaven because we're saved. But in Christ, the Bible tells me that while I'm here, I will have an abundant life. God provides abundantly. And abundantly means pressed down and running over. It just doesn't mean enough to do you. It's abundant. And Christ brings us abundant life whenever we trust in Him. A life that's been made possible through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we sometimes take for granted. But it's personal. It's life-changing. It's fruitful. It enables us to enjoy peace and love and mercy and hope and forgiveness and His presence every single day. That's what the good soil is. It's knowing the presence of God every single day in our lives. It enables us to have a hope. And we're living in a very uncertain world, but you know something? It shouldn't bother us. We have a hope today, and our hope's in Christ. Our hope's in Him. Hallelujah. This life of hope also brings responsibility, which brings me back to where I started at the very beginning. If a sower didn't go out to sow the seed, then the fruit would not be produced. This life that we have with Christ enables us, if you're a believer this morning, enables you to share your story with somebody else. These young folk in Clifford are going out to Spain to share their story. And what an amazing story you have to share. And you know something, go for it. You might never be back there again. Take this opportunity, go for it. It's like a chase, go for the big money. You might never be back there again. You share your story. You let people know that Jesus Christ is alive, that He loves them. What He has done for you, tell your story. Let people know that Jesus is alive. But that applies to us all this morning. We need to share our stories about this lovely Savior that we have. I was thinking, whenever I was writing this, I was thinking about the man at the temple door where Peter and John had no money to give him, but he rose up. And what did he do? What did he do? He got up and he was dancing. And he was singing and he was praising God. His life changed like that, as a flick of a switch, because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus in here this morning, I want to encourage you.
I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to break into your life, to change you and transform you and bring you into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us as believers this morning to be people who sow seeds, who make ground, prepare the ground for somebody else coming along to sow the seed. So who's Jesus talking about? The questions. Who's Jesus talking to here? He's talking to different types of soil. He's talking to those of us who are not saved, and he's talking to those of us who are saved. What's he talking about? He's simply challenging us into a relationship with him, but not a half-hearted relationship. A relationship that is completely and utterly given over to God. Given him every part of our being. And what's he saying to the church? I believe that he's saying that we need to be effective in all that we do. That pound coin that somebody in here gave to somebody one day had a lasting effect in that young man's life. Sometimes in gardening, well, always in gardening, seasons come and seasons go. And you might be fortunate to get a seed that grows early. I have a couple of tomato plants on her. One is mighty, and it's far too early for them. And one is just doing what it should do. But just because the one that's doing really well is too early, I don't throw it out. I keep it because I'm being blessed. That's the way I look at it. Early plant, don't know what happened, that wee seed, picked it up somewhere, but that's an early bird. Let's take every opportunity that we have to live for Jesus. Let's do some. Seeing I get saved, I used to think when I get saved that every Christian went to church all the time and went to prayer meetings and things like that there. I couldn't understand that. About 6 months later, I found that everybody wasn't like that. It was only a few of us. We need to be, if you want to see God move in your life in a real way, you need to be in the place of prayer. If you want to see the power of God move in you, you need to be in the place of prayer. If you want to see great things done in the name of Jesus, we need to be coming together to worship and to exalt the name of Jesus and to sing his praises and to listen to his word. You know, we are the fruit of somebody else's seed. Somebody sowed a seed into your life. So let's be a fruit that grows and develops and produces more seeds. Let's be effective. Let's do what the word of God teaches us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that Lord, we have been given the privilege of being part of your family. I want to thank you, Lord, for the individual or individuals who sowed seeds into our lives. People who took the time to talk to us about Jesus. People who took the time to pray for us. Or people who took the time to pray with us and sow seeds into our lives. And I pray this morning that for those of us who are believers, Lord, that we will do exactly the same. That, Lord, that's the way fruit and vegetables and things work. They grow, they produce a seed for another crop. And I pray, Lord, as we journey through this life, that we will produce seeds for another crop of men and women and boys and girls who will find you as Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, for anyone in here this morning who doesn't know you. Lord, let them be challenged by the word this morning. Don't let their hearts be hard. Don't let their hearts be shallow. Don't let their hearts be full of other stuff that they think they need to deal with. Lord, let their hearts be good soil. And may your Holy Spirit develop that seed that has been sown into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.